God's beloved, your beloved Jesus Christ will speak to you now in the book of Numbers. We turn now to chapter 27. We left off finishing chapter 26 last week. Chapter 26 was a very long chapter. It was the mustering and the censor, the numbering of all the people again. And there's some overlap here today. We saw a mention of the daughters of Zelophehad, and there is this special section given them today, which gives us some insight into those times, probably some insight into how things can apply yet today practically, but most importantly, they give us insight in terms of our inheritance that is guaranteed for us in heaven, the true promised land, and that God is pleased when we really think about that a lot and that we want to make sure that we have it, as the daughters give us an example today. So Numbers chapter 27, and we'll look at verses 1 through 11. They're getting close to the promised land, and the daughters of Zelophehad want to make sure they get their part. Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of God. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar, the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then shall ye give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto the father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsmen, that is, next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now again, these daughters were mentioned in the last chapter when they were dividing the land according to families and mentioning all the names. In chapter 26, verse 33, these daughters were mentioned. Here today, we're hearing about them again because they have a concern about their family name, that it would last. And they have a concern that the heritage in the promised land is not lost to them, is not lost to their family, and particularly is not lost to the name of their father. What we understand, what we learn within the text, we won't spend a lot of time on, is it gives us insight to the fact that usually, really, the sons were the ones that would inherit the possession of their father. It would be divided among the sons. If there were more than one, the eldest son, the firstborn son, would always get a higher percentage, but all the sons would get a percentage. But the daughters were not given anything of the heritage, partly because they would be marrying on to new families, and then their children, their sons, would be taking on the heritage of those husbands. And so when married, the father had no more financial responsibility to his daughters because they would be picking up the heritage of their new husbands. At this time, the daughters are not married, and so there's a concern if the land is not passed on to them and their family lineage, that name of their father would essentially be lost. They're concerned that when they get to the promised land, they too get a piece of this promised land, Because God has said he would do this. God has made a promise, and they're essentially doing what the Puritans say to do, pray God's promises. That's the main concern here today. We're seeing that their inheritance in the promised land is not lost. And God responds saying, God shows that he preserves the inheritance of all his people. He preserves the heritage of all his people in the promised land, and he encourages them to claim it. He wants to see that that would be a concern of yours, that you know you're going into the promised land, that you have a part and stake for yourself of the promised land. He's preserving it for you, and he's pleased that you would be concerned about that and less concerned about what you own in this world. More interested of what you're going to have in the next. So as you come closer to the promised land, beloved, because remember, the promised land is a type of heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. As you come closer to the true promised land, as the last day is getting closer to you, or your last day on this earth is coming closer, don't be afraid to stake your claim. Because you will possess your father's inheritance. You will. This is the message for you today from this text. You will possess your father's inheritance. This is their concern, and it's pointing to the greater concern that you can be rest assured by. You will possess your heavenly father's inheritance in heaven. God will preserve your heavenly inheritance for his own name's sake. For his own name's sake. God will preserve your heavenly inheritance for his own name's sake. A father wants to be known as someone who provides for his children. There are proverbs that speak of how it is a good thing that a father would be leaving inheritance to the children. There is a concern here that God would be seen to be that good father. So God makes a rule. Because it's ultimately all about him as the perfect father. God makes a rule in this text that the inheritance of every family name will be preserved in the promised land by him. Verses 8 through 11, he responds and said, yes, let me give you this rule. If there are no sons, pass it on to the daughters. If there are no daughters, pass it on to the brother of the father, or if not that, pass it on to the later kinsman, but keep that name in. He's showing he's a good father. He makes this a perpetual rule. Look at verse 11. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment as the Lord commanded Moses. So he says this is essentially an exception to the rule because the sons normally should be the ones who inherit. But if there is a place where a father who has died has no sons to leave the inheritance to, then it needs to go to the daughters. He makes this an ongoing rule. Now you might ask, what about the wife? Those are the kinds of things not really being addressed today. This is a text that is speaking particularly for the time in the promised land. It's not necessarily something that has to be applied in every detail to our times now. There's no longer a theocracy. But what it's showing is there's this concern to perpetuate the name and the land in the promised land for the father. And ultimately, this is showing that God is a good father. He wants his name to be honored. He says his name is what? What is Moses told to say his name is to the people of Israel? Tell them that Yahweh has sent you, but then particularly, how does he identify himself? I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So preserving the name of these people, the name of his people, is the way ultimately that he preserves and protects the honor of his own name. Because he's the deliverer. He's the one that went and grabbed these people. He's the one that says, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. So he wants to preserve his own name in all of this. Notice that's the main concern of these daughters. Yes, they want a piece of the promised land, but ultimately why? They want to honor the name of their father. They want to see his land kept in the family. Otherwise, it essentially is erased. Look at verse 4, the first part. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Please preserve this land that our father could be honored. And so God the Father brings his family and all of them into the promised land, ultimately to honor him. So we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. It speaks of the fact that you have an inheritance now in heaven through Christ. You have a possession already, but what for? To the praise of his glory. God is pleased to protect and preserve your possession in heaven, your name, as it were, in heaven, for the praise of his name and his glory. So your greatest desire, beloved, your greatest desire to enter into heaven, to have your name in the book of life and to find yourself in heaven, should be the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember, your reason for existing, your reason for being brought into heaven is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. For the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16, verses 5 to 6, which you just sang. We'll sing the rest of it tonight. You have an inheritance in heaven because God is your inheritance. It could be put another way. If you do not have God as your inheritance, you do not have the inheritance of heaven. You do not have the promised land. You will not inherit the earth. But with God as your inheritance, you inherit all things. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh, says Jesus Christ, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Behold, what love the Father has for you, that he has called you his sons, his children. Jesus has made you his sons and daughters. God is your Father through him, and so in him you inherit all things. You already have an inheritance. This is why Jesus is spoken of in the letter to the Hebrews as the testator. And it's one of the few times where the word covenant instead is translated testament, because it's at the death of the testator that the inheritance is bequeathed to those that it's been left to. So Jesus died, among other reasons, because when he dies, he gives you the inheritance of God, his Father. His death was necessary, but it gives you salvation. It gives you the heavenly inheritance of his Father. God owns all things. Christ owns all things. And so when he preserves your inheritance, he is showing his glory. He preserves your name in the book of life. He preserves your peace in the promised land. He will bring you into the promised land for his own glory, to honor his own name. And that is why you can have confidence, just like these daughters have confidence, ultimately to bring glory to your heavenly Father's name, because he keeps his promise. God is pleased to see you eager to claim your stake in his heavenly place. God will preserve your heavenly inheritance for his own name's sake because God is pleased to see you eager to claim your stake in his heavenly place. Maybe you can think of it this way, just this confidence that they're showing, that you should show. When explorers of the olden days would come to the shores of a new land, the first thing they do is they take the flag, the banner, if you will, as all of these tribes of Israel have a banner with their tribal name on it representing God going in to take the promised land. When the explorers came to the new world and they climbed upon the sand, they would stake their banner representing their empire into the sand and claim it for their nation. And we're not saying that we necessarily have the right to do those things temporally, but you should have that idea as you're walking around this land. Walk with confidence that this is God's territory. He made it. He is taking it back from the devil, and he is giving it to his people. He will completely and perfectly in heaven give it to his people. So the daughters of Zelophehad are like that. They're showing confidence that God is going to take the promised land and he's going to give it to his people Israel to possess. And so they're boldly asking for their rightful share of it. Look at the second part of verse 4. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Look at these ladies. They're coming before Moses and saying, give us our part of the land. Give us our father's inheritance. Give it to us. But notice this is showing profound faith. They believe God's going to give this land to them. Now, doesn't that strike you? Because why isn't their father inheriting the land himself? And why isn't the whole first generation, other than Joshua and Caleb, going in to enter the land and possess it? Because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe the spies. Well, the two spies. They believed the other spies. They refused to believe that God would give them this land. So they didn't enter it. Here the daughters are showing the faith that their parents and their father should have had. God will give it to us because God said he would. So you see this faith that God is affirming. Good. Good. It's good that these women have the courage to come and claim the land. They are showing faith. They are showing great, strong faith that they believe that I will do what I said. They are ultimately showing that they believe in me, their heavenly Father, and that I will exalt my own name in taking care of my children. He affirms their optimism. He affirms their interest for themselves in the promised land. Look at verse 7. God says, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. How do you think they felt? We're going into the promised land. We're going to get our peace. Yes. God is rewarding our faith and our boldness to approach him and in front of his people. You can imagine for the women then, that was not something that was, I'm sure it was intimidating, but they had great faith not to be intimidated. They wanted to claim their right while they could claim it. So, beloved, be excited to stake your claim in the new heavens and the new earth. Be excited about it. Be bold about it. Look around this land and say, I'm going to inherit all of that. What a witness to other people walking by. I hope you're enjoying it while you can. Because it's all going to be mine in the new heavens and the new earth. But it could be yours too if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into the heavenly promised land. You sang Psalm 37 verse 9 this morning. And what did it say? The same thing Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 verse 5. The meek shall inherit the earth. So these daughters meekly come before God. And God says, yes, I'll give you. I will preserve this inheritance. And he's pleased to see them care about it. A lot of the commentators say, oh, that people in the church would be so concerned today. We're more concerned to inherit this world. We're more concerned, and our parents tend to be more concerned of leaving earthly things and not a spiritual heritage, not the promised land. Oh, that we would be far more eager to claim our stake in heaven, to take our banner and put it up that Christ rules and I'm getting the new heavens and the new earth, that we would be excited, that we would be moving forward, eager to go on and take it. Not just verse 9, verse 11, verse 22, and verse 34, all in Psalm 37 say, don't worry about this wicked world. Don't be concerned to possess what they are concerned to possess. You focus on meekly following God and he will give you all things. Boldly follow Christ. Eagerly expect your inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. Have the faith of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Beloved, maybe you're like me, maybe you're like a number of people. If not, you should be. Solomon would tell you that in the Proverbs. How do you know that those you leave your earthly things to will even do the right thing with it after you're gone? Often it's not the case. Or how do you know, many of us just recognize, and this is something I am more thinking about as I comment, I don't know that I'll stake a claim in anything in this world. I don't know that I'll really have anything physically to pass on to my children. But as Luther, I know that what's far more important is to pass on the promised land to my children. Maybe you're working so hard just to make ends meet, and you know that that will probably be your life until the end of your life. Well, here's your encouragement, beloved. Here's your lively hope. You have an inheritance of all things because you are children of the Most High God. You have an inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth. Live meekly. Don't worry about what you do or do not stake a claim in this world, because it is all passing away after all anyways. Don't be discouraged of what it might look like to the world. Boldly pass on to your children the promised land. Teach them to be ready to stake their heritage as Christians. Remind them why you baptized them. Raise them to boldly go after the throne of glory, the new heavens and the new earth. Raise them to be excited about Jesus Christ and his land that he gives to his people in the end. You don't lose anything for losing out in this world. Remember, the book of Revelation, largely in the letters to the churches of Asia, is to encourage you who lose money, who lose earthly inheritances, who can't make it in this world very well because you are Christians. And the world will hate you, and it will steal from you, and it will cause you to always be at a disadvantage. Jesus says, hold fast and overcome. Again, Revelation 21, verse 7. The end of it all. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He has it reserved already in heaven for you. And it won't fade away. Your name is on it. So later, the story continues, this true story, Joshua chapter 17, when they do get into taking the promised land, verses 3 to 4, when the land is started to be divided up as they are given instructions recently in Numbers, these daughters of Zelophehad come again. Now to Joshua, with the same bold faith. And they remind Joshua of this text today, and they say, give us our father's inheritance. Give us our land in the promised land. and he does. So, beloved, Jesus will do the same for you. You will come to Joshua, Jesus Christ, on the last great day and say, Lord, give me my inheritance. And he will say, indeed, well done, good and faithful servant. He will say, enter now, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here we see the letter P again held out before us in the five main doctrines held forth of Calvinism. Tulip, T-U-L-I-P. All of them related. You can't drop one. You can't be a Calvinist and hold to only 4 points. It's a lie. All 5 points hold. And the last one is very important. The perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. He will get you to the plains of Moab. He will bring you to the edge of the promised land. And he will bring you into the promised land. And he will give it to you as your eternal inheritance. And unlike whatever you possess in this world, it will never corrode. There is no moth or rust there. It will only be perfect and pristine. Think about how much time in this world you just spend fixing things as they rust and corrode. In heaven, it will never be that way. You can go out and enjoy eternity and all the things you want to see. You come back and it'll be perfect. It'll never corrode. You have this incredible inheritance in the new heavens and in the new earth. It is preserved for you. You will be preserved. You will persevere because God, your Father, for his own name's sake, preserves your name to lift up his own. So believe indeed, beloved, and be excited about it, beloved. You will possess your Father's inheritance. And if you are paying attention today, and you can keep yourself awake this morning because that excites you, then be encouraged, Christian. But if you can't stay awake right now because of this, may the Lord revive and awaken you now. You're going to possess heaven. You're going to possess everything. Well, compare and contrast that to your present experience. Do you struggle to keep things going? Do you struggle to possess anything? Your experience in heaven will be you'll possess everything and you'll never lose it again. And you'll have no concern about your family name and whether you'll be there. You will possess your Father's inheritance. Let us pray and let us praise him. O Lord God in heaven, what more could excite us than your glory and the honor of your name, possessing your inheritance, all your people? And what more could cause us joy than that we will be surrounding your throne and of the Lamb of God, and we will possess all things, and it will not corrode, it will not fade away, and it is already reserved for us in heaven. So how we do long for the day, O Lord Jesus, when you will say that we are blessed of your Father, and you will call on us to enter this kingdom that has been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. As the men study, finishing Thomas Boston's book, The Fourfold Nature of the Human State, and the last state is glory in heaven, if this place has been prepared for us, before the foundation of the world. And if, Lord Jesus, you say, it's good that I go and prepare this place for you, how much time and attention you, Lord God, have been preparing this place for us, how marvelous it must be. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, preparing for us this incredible kingdom, more glorious. It makes every other kingdom of this world beyond comparison, and you are preparing it for us. How magnificent and majestic it must be. How glorious and grand it must be. And it is ours. Oh Lord, as we suffer in this world and we struggle and we wonder what will be left, let us remember we have everything that will never be used up, and it will last forever, and it'll be far better than anything this earth could ever offer us. And Lord, let us be so bold and excited to pass it on to our children. And may our children, just as these children, the second generation of the covenant, may they boldly seek to enter in and honor the name of you, our Heavenly Father, and honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Joshua bringing us in and conquering and dividing and giving to us the new heavens and the new earth. May we be bold now with this bold expectation to lift up and magnify with our tongues and confess now that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, and his name will be lifted up as he judges the world and he gives the new heavens and the new earth to his beloved saints. And he remembers us each by name. Oh, there is a place in heaven with our name on it, already being preserved for us now. Oh, Lord God, let that excite us. And let it indeed be used as your means of grace to help us persevere unto the end to enter the eternal beginning. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people bearing his name say, Amen.